Welcome to the Third Realm Integration Podcast, where our unconscious minds meet and the transformation begins. I am your host, Megan Kenny, licensed psychotherapist, soul retrieval shamanic healer, and heart conscious practitioner. Let's get started. Welcome, everybody. It has been a minute, a real long minute, since I've last done an episode. And many reasons for that. I've been traveling around Europe. I've been pursuing licensure in a number of different states, which some of which have solidified at this point, which is amazing because when you do telehealth, it's really important that you connect with people in need in a variety of different states, and it also just helps build your practice. And so it's going to be exciting to announce some of that information in the coming weeks and months about what states I will be practicing in as a licensed psychotherapist, which also means I will be able to start taking insurance for some folks too in certain states. So stay with me on that. I'll keep you posted. And yes, it has been a while since I've last been on the mic. I made a plan and a promise to do an episode every other week. And life has unfolded in a really rich way for me. And I have to be honest, I have not had a desire to come back on the mic. And so it's allowed me to take some time to pause and reflect on why I do the podcast in the first place. And I think in the past, the way that I've done it has been very ego-driven. And the more healing I do on myself, the more I learn, the more I study, and the more I bring that practice into real life with my clients, the more I find that my ego surrenders a lot more and is not what drives the boat on decisions I make and things that I am pulled to do. And it's very interesting. So that's where we're at. So I'm not going to say that I'm going to put out another episode in 2 weeks. I don't know. I'm going to move with wherever I am pulled to move to. And I was pulled to jump on here today to talk to you guys about a very important topic that I talk about a lot in my work. And that is, what is our soul's mission here on earth? What are we here to do? And I actually just want to pause for a second because I have a new member of the team here, a little four-legged friend. I usually have the two OGs, Gracie and Gaia, my two amazing, I would call them service dogs, emotional support, I guess. They're not officially trained as service dogs, but they are my buddies, and I have recently rescued a stray cat that's been living in my neighborhood for a number of years that really needed some help. He was in pretty rough shape, and he needed surgery, and I was able to find him just in time when I returned from my trip to Europe, and it just happened to fall into place that way, and he is sitting on my lap. His name is Milo. And he is sitting on my lap right now, and he is playing with the computer screen. This cat is wild. He knows things. He knows things. Supposedly a stray cat, but is totally in love with people. And I taught him how to go into the new litter box today. All I said was, here we go. Go in here. Go in here. Do pee pee poo poo in here. And he literally jumped right in and peed in the litter box on command. I don't understand. I really don't understand what the deal with this cat is. But anyway, I knew he was sick last year, and I was doing some Reiki on him when he would sit on my lap on my porch. And his face, the one side of his face, I could feel the heat. And I was doing a lot of Reiki on him every time he sat on my lap, which was pretty much every day in the summertime. And the heat started to go away. So I'm like, okay, well, whatever infection is going on there, maybe, I don't know, maybe the metaphysical healing is starting to take shape. And then things got disrupted. New neighbors moved in. There was a new cat that came in and pretty much, I would say, established himself as the alpha in the neighborhood. So a bunch of the cats that were kind of roaming around here that the neighbors would feed all disappeared. And Milo was one of them. And we lost track of him for several months. We saw people posting about him on Facebook and he looked great. And then all of a sudden one day he didn't look great. And he needed some help. So I stepped in and we have nursed him back to health. And we took a stray cat, made him a house cat. And he's in here with the dogs now. He's chilling. He is chilling. And so I am joined by my crew tonight. Hopefully we get some folks listening in on the other line on your end. And I don't know. I'm thinking about how awesome it would be if we could do live, like a radio show, not a podcast, but stream this live on YouTube and actually have people call in and ask questions. Because to me, that's the best way to generate conversations about some of these really in-depth topics that I like to talk about in my life constantly, but also with my clients and what I want to bring to the show for content. So I don't know. We'll think about it. Stay tuned on that. Again, I don't want to make any promises because I'm just going with the flow at this point in my life. And I don't want to say I'm going to do something that I'm just not, I don't have a desire to do. So we'll see if that speaks to me more. And if so, we'll see how that plays out as opposed to having guests on the show. So here's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about what our soul is here to do on this earth. And I think a lot of times when people hit the period of existential angst, where they are like, what is the meaning of my life? Why am I here? And what the hell is going on? And I want out, by the way. I find meaning and purpose in my life, so I don't want to be here. And I think a lot of people end up going down that dark path because they're not tapped in to what the soul's mission here is in the earth school. And a lot of times when people think they have the answer, they'll start with, well, I think I'm here to help others. Well, okay, that's probably one part of it. Probably one big part of it, actually. Oh, I think I'm here to learn how to love myself, set good boundaries, and respect myself, put myself first, and not make any apologies for that. Okay, that's amazing. That's breaking a codependency pattern that has probably been in your family system for generations, and for you to take that task on is huge. Chances are, though, in my experience, those are not the only reasons why we are here. And it actually goes much deeper than that. So let's start with thinking about sacred contracts and what our soul does before it even gets into our physical body. And what I have come to understand is that our soul chooses this life. Yes, your soul has chosen the play of this life that you're living right now, with all of the characters in the play. Your parents, your partners, your kids, your friends, your coworkers, the strangers on the street that pass you by, the people that have perpetrated against you and those that you have harmed, the people that just fill in the background. These are all actors in the play of consciousness that your soul constructed before it incarnated into the body that you're in right now. And from what I've gathered and from what I've learned along the way, the soul has a few different options of lifetimes, bodies, that they can jump into. And there might be three, there might be more, but they line the whole show up. I have one path here in this body, living this life with this pain, this trauma, this joy. I have this level of consciousness. I have this one, and then I have this one. And then the soul gets to choose. The soul jumps into the body and then lives that life out. But the second the soul jumps into the physical body, instant amnesia takes shape. The soul jumps into the body, and the body, the mind, the biggest barrier, the mind instantly forgets the whole plan. Boom. The baby is born, the consciousness becomes an external living entity separate from the mother. In the womb, the baby's consciousness is merged with the mother from the very beginning. And then there's a separation there as soon as the birth happens. There's a death because that baby goes from a water being to now an air being, moves through the birth canal. And there's a lot of research, on, especially in Stan Grof's work, about babies that are born naturally and babies that are born C-section and babies that are born C-section that it's totally planned and it's real simple, real easy. They put the mother under, they take the baby out and that's it. And there's a lot to be said for how the baby's life is then constructed from that point when the trauma of going through the birth canal in a natural birth is lost. And how that actually impacts the baby when the birth is, frankly, too easy. And how the child will have difficulty when they grow up in this world to deal with trauma and suffering because they weren't initiated into it during the birth process. So then you have, and you pull in the astrology and you recognize, okay, when we separate our consciousness from our mother, that's considered the Chiron wound. And then our mission, our soul's mission in life, if we want to just put one big overarching mission, the soul is learning how to be in the human experience. We are soul beings having a human experience. The soul now needs to learn how to do the school of earth, which is where all the pain and suffering is. Don't let the church make you believe that there's such thing as hell. We're in hell, frankly. Sorry, I hate to be so blunt. But that's where it is, because this is the only place in the galaxy, in the universe, in the atmosphere, that is this dense. Earth is the most dense planet out of all of them. And that's where all the 3D crap happens. The fear, the hate, the violence, the suffering, the victimization, the grief, the pain, the illusion, the attachment, the resentment, the spitefulness, the eye for an eye mentality. That's all here. That doesn't exist anywhere else. You come here to learn how to do all that. And the soul's mission is to learn how to be in that body, going through that earthly experience. And there's so many other aspects that come up now as to how to get even more specific on what the soul's mission is. Yes, it's about an integration of the soul and the mind and the body, how to bring that into union and create harmony so there's a full moving system there. That's the ultimate mission. But then each person's individual play now has to take shape. And in my experience, our job to learn how to fully heal and really make it work and really make this earth school and this life that we're in right now worth it, and to pay off our karmic debt, so when we get to the end of the road here and we do our life in review, we don't have to come back and do this all over again with the same people and again and again and again. So you learn how to pay off your karmic debt when you figure out what play you constructed, what players you put in place and why. And I've said this before to clients. I've said, you know, I've had clients that are really caught in being a victim. They're completely submerged in victim consciousness. There's nothing I can do. I don't have the skills. It's because of my parents, of the trauma that I suffered as to why I am the way I am, which, by the way, is a very Western way of thinking about our ancestors. It's uncommon in other cultures to look at our ancestors as the perpetrator, as the problem. That's not how it is in other cultures. In other cultures, the ancestors are seen as the heroes, the cheerleaders, the ones that point us in the direction of where we need to go, the ones that love and nurture us. And maybe it's just that we have a tumultuous relationship in the West with our ancestors because of how our land began, with violence and slaughtering and theft. Many countries begin that way, actually. I think pretty much all of them. But somehow, something along the way got a little, I don't know, misguided. So maybe it's just in our DNA as Westerners, even just specifically, I'm talking as Americans, that we just don't have it in us yet to be able to cultivate ancestors that are nurturing and loving, and then for us to have a reflection on them as such, seeing them as our leaders as opposed to our perpetrators. And so I've said this before to clients, you know, is there something that is there a moment that you can take and pause and consider this, that you actually chose your parents? You chose this life. Oh no, I didn't choose my parents. No, I did not. They are assholes. I did not choose them. They did this, they did that. I would never choose parents like that. And it's like, wow, okay, this person is so not ready to hear the truth of what the deal is. They are drunk off of victimization. They are drunk off of victim consciousness. And they're going to need to get sober first before anything here is going to start to click. That's somebody that's living in a real dense 3D experience, full of fear, full of resentment, full of hate, not able to forgive and let go and move on. They're attached to the past. And maybe that's serving them in some way. And so that's the very first piece that I look at as a practitioner. When a person is resisting what I'm trying to suggest, it means their ego is getting in the way. And that's why I'm actually beginning to pursue some training in hypnosis, quantum hypnosis, because it totally bypasses the ego and it locks right into the universal or the collective consciousness of that person, the higher soul. So now we're communicating with that part, which is the soul. So when I do soul retrieval work as a shamanic practitioner, this is where I'm taking, when I do it with myself through my own healing, this is where I'm taking the journey, where I'm taking myself and my clients. We're coming back to retrieve the soul that has been lost and clouded and blocked by a really defensive, wounded ego. And instead of trying to talk to the ego to get the ego to surrender, which I've been doing for several years now, and it's really hard work. The ego is a beast. And there, more often than not, I don't really want to jam out with the ego. Like, I'm not really, it's like, okay, dude, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm done. Like, I'm moving on. Whatever. Not interested in trying to awaken the ego. The ego's not going to surrender. And it's because we can't go at the ego in order to get it to surrender. We have to bypass it. We have to get tricky. We have to get a little tricky-dicky around here to try to figure out how we're going to move around that stubborn freaking brick wall of an ego that's literally going to resist everything that I'm going to say and stay in blame and complain, which is victim consciousness. Blame everybody else and complain about where I am in my life. And the problem is that we lose sight of the fact that if we tap into our soul and we listen, zip it, stop talking, and listen. Listen to your body. Listen to your soul. Listen to the people and the elders around you. Whether you like what they have to say or not, they have something to share that is certainly going to be of value to you. People need to just pause, take a breath, and listen and receive. Be open enough to receive the information that is around you that you're not awake to. And the people that are coming into your life to provide that direction are there for a reason. They're there to guide you, whether they do it through the pain and suffering that they cause you or whether they do it through the unconditional love that they hold with you. They're there to show you the way. And so trust that your soul is here doing its work and that there are a number of different reasons as to why you might be having the life experience that you're having. You can't be mad when you chose the life. I need to break it to everybody. It's like, you can't really complain. You built the play. You put the characters in. What are you so mad about? You did it. This is your life. You're not conscious of it. You didn't consciously do it. You just forgot. So now let's do the work to retrieve your soul's memory so you can get the information that you need to get in order to go where you want to go. So we got to move out of the victim. However, before we do that, sometimes we have to acknowledge that maybe your soul's mission was to learn the value and the meaning of suffering. That's why I have to exercise the practice of unconditional love which is the experience of an open heart without the need to change anything. Accepting everything exactly the way it is and being at peace and finding stillness in that. Now, yes, as healers, of course, we want to relieve the people of their suffering. If I had my choice, there would be no suffering on this planet. But I also see the great value in it, because it wouldn't lead us to the higher state of consciousness that's necessary for us to now move into where we're going as a collective. They're calling it the new earth, the 5D experience. There's going to be, and there is right now happening, a separation. Those who are more conscious will move into the 5D reality, where life is going to get a lot easier, because we're going to change our perspective. And a lot of people are doing that right now, especially with this whole boom of the psychedelic wave. You have people that are already beginning to get curious. The psychedelics are the key that opens the first door of consciousness. And everyone's getting started. We got to put the prescription pills down. We got to wake up to the industrial complexes that run this country, that is America. And we have to learn how to work within it and not continue to be victims, slaves, and oppressed people by the system that we were born to be in. We are not here by mistake. We chose this. And if we weren't ready to do this life right here, right now, we wouldn't be here. So everybody has what it takes to transform within the system that we're in. And those who are interested, curious, and determined, and motivated to do that kind of transformation will be moving on to the 5D reality. Those who are caught in fear, hate, resentment, and inability to forgive, those are the material possessions. Work, work, work. Make all the money. Make all the money. And hang on to it. Because it's the most valuable thing you'll ever get your hands on. Forget about everything else. It's all about the money. Okay, no. Wrong answer. Those are the people that are going to be stuck in the 3D reality. And to be honest, most people that are going to be stuck there aren't really conscious enough to know that it's not really that great of a place to be. I mean, they really don't even know any better. These are what they call the backfill people. These are the people in your play that have a lower state of consciousness, that you chose to be there because somebody, a mass group of people needed to kind of fill in the foundation to stabilize everything in your play. They're all the background actors. I mean, you need extras for every film. You have to have them. You need that so then you can sprout out and expand your consciousness and move on to where you need to go. So from a functionalist perspective in sociology, everybody has a function that's in the system. Everybody does. Some people might not like it. They might not like what role they're playing, but that's what it is. And so in preparation of moving to the 5D, we have to start building a language and a relationship with our soul. Our higher soul. Dolores Cannon calls it the subconscious. Jung calls it the collective. Well, it's really the collective unconscious, but the universal consciousness. Well, you hear that term a lot. The higher soul, Christ consciousness, the state of unconditional love, pure love, pure love. And so a lot of times when I'm working with people that are really caught up in that 3D experience, it's really, really hard. It's frankly, it gives me an opportunity to really practice what I preach because I'm really having to put that into work of, yes, I'm sitting here with the client. I have my own perception on how I can be helpful. And the tables are being turned in real time. None of what I am prepared to do here is now what we're doing. Because the person is not open to receiving anything of what I'm saying. They resist it. They turn it down. I say, you chose this life. They say, you're crazy. There's no way in hell I would choose this life. And then we have to get tricky as to how we're going to bypass that ego. Because I do not want to talk to your ego. I'm only interested in talking to your soul. So we're going to ask the ego to step aside for a minute. We'll get back to you. Thank you. Nice job. Not right now, though. We got some other stuff to do. And if I can figure out a way to bypass that, which I haven't figured it out entirely, I have my own little method of using astrology and archetypes to do it. And just a general understanding of wounding patterns and then being able to share that. And people tend to be pretty receptive to that understanding, that knowledge that we have two primary wounding patterns. I'll get into that in another episode. But I love this idea of quantum hypnosis because it's not as much work as what I do. And so a lot of times what that tells me is that this might be this person's first incarnation here on Earth. They're just getting started. And they can't take on more than what they already have consciously. Their level of consciousness has to stay where it is, which might include a lot of pain and suffering because they're not ready to take it on yet. You don't feed a baby a steak. You don't feed a baby a three-course meal, as Dolores Cannon would say. You feed a baby formula, then soft foods. I don't know. I don't have kids, but I mean, baby food, you know, ground up, pureed shit like that. You're not feeding a baby a steak. So you can't have somebody that jumped into the earthly school round one and think you're going to give them all this higher consciousness wisdom and think that that's safe for them and that they can handle it because they can't. They're not meant to. They're not there yet. They're not ready. That's okay. Sometimes that is the soul's mission right there, to jump into the body, to get acclimated to the earthly experience, to get through the school on the most basic level. This is preschool now we're talking. And there might be suffering involved in that. They may be a victim. They may be at the bottom of the food chain, class-wise, race-wise, education-wise, gender-wise. Politically, they might be in the outcast. They might be seen as the less than member of the less than group. Yeah, that sucks. And yes, there is oppression. And there are ways in which people are completely victimized by the system, by other people, of course. But that's not where we're meant to stay, most of us, if we are meant to awaken. If we are meant to really learn what it means to be a victim, then we will stay in that 3D experience. But I'll be honest with you, those people are not the people that are calling me anyway. They're not even in my orbit. So anybody that's calling me and wants to do this kind of work, I'm going in with an expectation that there's some part of them that's conscious enough to get this. Because I know the people that are stuck in that 3D experience. Most of them, most family members that I have are people in that category. There's nobody on either side of my family that has aimed to consciously evolve, that gives back and is of service to other people. We have a couple helpers in the family. No healers, though. No healers. And helpers, frankly, in my opinion, tend to acquire a lot more karma in this lifetime because they're trying to end people's suffering. Like nurses, trying to put people out of their suffering to make people more comfortable. And that's really not our job. We might be here to help awaken and heal others, but not to end their suffering. So some people's soul mission is to learn how to suffer and learn the value of suffering. Because maybe in that's assuming I've said maybe that's their first lifetime, but sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes they've incarnated into this life and have had to experience suffering because in the previous life they were a freaking Buddhist monk, you know? Like they were at the top of the game. They were completely open and had completely elevated. Now they have to see the other side. It's kind of like how they talk about that Chiron wound of the wounded healer. And it's a triangle. And the triangle is the perpetrator, the victim, and the healer. Those are the three points of the triangle. And any person can play any role at any point in their lifetime and in other lifetimes. So sometimes when you're a healer in this lifetime, it's because you were a perpetrator in the previous one. You might have even been the perpetrator in that same one. And vice versa. Maybe you were a victim, now you're a healer. And so sometimes it flips and it goes to the opposite. So you have to let people walk their path. Because if you try to steer them out of what their soul is here to learn, then you're now going to acquire karmic debt that you're now going to need to pay off, because in my opinion. Because you got in the way, you interfered. And the higher souls, they're looking down on all of us like we're acting crazy out here. Killing each other, violence. We can't even handle this vibrational upgrade that's going on. The most vulnerable parts of our population are cracking. People with mental illness, people that are homeless, people that are addicted to drugs. I mean, people that are prone to violence and have no way of regulating their anger. I mean, we got people with physical illnesses and diseases. Colon cancer is on the rise, like something I've never seen. People are harboring a lot of anger and rage, and they have no way to express it in a healthy way. We have a really sick society right now, and you're seeing it on all fronts. And so, you know, there's a lot of 3D earthly experiences going on right now, and a lot of people are meant to awaken, and a lot of people are not. So some people are meant to really surrender into the suffering, into the pain, into the shadow, into the darkness, and really be a part of that collective. And others are here to learn how to transmute fear and hate into unconditional love, for example. Like truly, truly be able to make that leap. I think that's probably what I'm here for. To learn how to transmute fear and hate into unconditional love and then share that teaching, share the teachings with whoever I come in contact with. Well, not whoever. I keep my circle incredibly small these days. I'm only communicating with people that I can talk to about this stuff. Anybody else, I'm not interested. I can't do it. Well, not I can't do it. I won't do it. I don't want to. I only want to talk about things like this, and if people get it, great, and if they don't, we're just on two different pages. We just have to accept that. We're not on the same timeline here. And so I think that's my mission, because I came from a place of fear and hate for a very long time. I chose a life that taught me how to forgive myself and forgive others. And that was not an easy leap to make. That's another piece. One huge part of why our souls are here, and this is common for many of us, is to learn how to forgive. Forgive ourselves and forgive the other person. Cut the cord, rip the contract up, let it go, and move on. Don't forget, every single person that has come into your life up until this point has done so because you signed your soul. Signed a contract with that person to show up at this time to do this thing, to harm me in this way, to love me in this way, so that you could teach me a lesson. Because that's what my soul is here to learn, whatever the lesson is. Maybe it's to learn how to forgive. Maybe it's to learn how to transmute fear and hate into unconditional love. Maybe it's to learn the value of suffering. Maybe it's to awaken and heal others. Just by being who you are. You might not even need to change anything. Your presence and the people around you might be just enough. And so you can't get mad that people have crossed your path, that have done certain things to you, or that, you know, you've tried really hard to work things out with. It just doesn't work. So you've got to acknowledge, hey, we've done this. I mean, we really tried. We really did. Especially if you've done this merry-go-round with that same person in many, many lifetimes. And a lot of people that I know that. They've done past life regressions. They know that sometimes the people that are in their life, they've kind of done this merry-go-round with many, many times. And they're kind of tired of it. All right, so forgive. First, learn the lesson. What was that person here to teach you? Forgive and truly mean it. So practice unconditional love, how to have an open heart, and just let it go. And write their name down on a piece of paper, tear it, and say, I am done. I release you. Let's move on. You go your way, I'll go mine. That's it. So when we learn what our soul's mission here is, we come into harmony and balance. And we really start to find our groove. That's where we can start manifesting our own reality. Every thought we put out into the archetypal field will bounce an event back to us that matches the vibrational frequency of the thought itself. You put fear out, guess what's going to bounce back? Experiences that validate the fear. Experiences that make you feel fearful. You put negativity out, you're going to get experiences back that make you feel justified in being and thinking negative. You put out good thoughts, higher vibrational energy, unconditional love, trust, kindness, compassion. And that's what you're going to get back. So you get to construct your own reality here. We'll go into another episode around the holographic universe, but let's not go too deep today. It's in parallel lives, because there is no past, present, and future. It's all just happening right now, running concurrently. Ego tracks running at the exact same time. Many different versions of ourselves existing right now in many different dimensions. We are just in this one right now, and we can choose to jump into the others if we want, or we can cultivate this one and have this one be the highest expression of ourselves. This is where we start meeting our full potential. And this is it. Sometimes people can use astrology to actually find out what the deeper patterns are there too, to find out, oh, here's the positions of these planets, these aspects. That means this. Maybe that's what I'm here to learn. So that's the other piece, when you can start pulling in other tools to help you find some clarity. And like I said, sometimes, a lot of times, it starts by learning how to love yourself, learning how to listen to your body. How many people do you know, including me, don't even listen to the body? Like, we do the work on the mind, and we bring the mind and the soul into union, okay? All this Jungian work that a lot of us do, we're looking at our ego, we're looking at our projections, our shadow, our hooks, this and that. Okay, where's the body, everybody? The body has its own wisdom. It's trying to talk to us, and we just don't want to listen. And we have to bring all three pieces into union. And that's when the groove starts. That's where you pick the momentum up. And that's where you can go, all right, I'm going to take a breath, and I'm not going to try so hard. I'm trying to speed this clock up. I'm trying to get all this stuff done. I got to do this, I got to do that, and I want to do it by this time, so then I can just chill. No, you can actually just chill now. My new phrase came up in a meditation the other night. Let it go and let it flow. Fall back into the wisdom of the river of ancestral sacred knowledge. There is information and intelligence that exists within you and beyond you. Fall back into it and let it carry you. Trust that there is something at work that is much bigger than you. And it doesn't have to be some projected image of some man in the sky. It's not what it is anyway. All it is the purest form of the highest frequency of unconditional love. Pure love. The mother's love. The motherless mother's love. The mother in the sky that didn't even need a mother, because she's up there creating all of us. Connecting into your soul, your highest self, the part of you that has all the information. Any problem you have, any answer you need, your soul has it. The universal consciousness, that's what I'm talking about. Wake that part up and retrieve it. Retrieve your soul, bring it back into yourself. Everybody has God in them. Everybody has the God frequency in them. It exists around us. It exists within us. All you got to do is find the key that is the right key to put into the lock, turn it, open it up. And frankly, that's what psychedelics are doing for a lot of people. It's just that it is 101. People do go deep on psychedelics, but as far as the development of their consciousness, I'm finding that a lot of people in the psychedelic community are like just getting started. It's almost like it is like their first, it can't be their first incarnation, but it kind of feels that way. Maybe I think a lot of people in that space have had many lifetimes, especially the healers, but a lot of people are like just starting to wake up, and it's amazing to see on a mass scale like this. It really is something. And so those of us that have been doing this for a minute and are kind of on the more trippy end of it, like we're going deep, we are the future ancestors for the people that are coming right up behind us that need somebody to guide the way. So anybody out there that's listening, where you feel like, I don't know, I feel like I'm supposed to really figure my own stuff out, really get myself clear, like a clear glass vessel, so I can be of service to others. If you think that, that's probably what you're supposed to be doing. And it's the most rewarding work that you can ever do, because you're in constant healing for yourself. Because especially if you take a Jungian approach and you have God moments every day, all day with clients, as I'm talking to you, I am talking to myself. Like, what? Yeah. totally bend your mind. Crank it right into a million pieces. I'm talking to you, which means I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to myself right now on this podcast in my sessions with clients. That's what it is. Now you're leveling up to some of the highest states of consciousness that you can achieve, which is way past duality, now into the space of non-duality, where everything is one. I am you, you are me. I am God, God is me. God is an energy, a frequency, vibration. Right here, I have a tuning fork right here. See if I can play it and see if you can hear it on the mic. 852 hertz. I don't know if you can get that. 852, very powerful. The vibration of unconditional love. So that's what it is. And Dolores Cannon has said, back to the value of suffering and why some of us jump into lives that have a lot of suffering. When you go that deep, you learn, the ego learns how to surrender, because the ego is going to surrender whether it likes to or not if the suffering's bad enough. So that leads to the ego death and a spiritual awakening. That's the shamanic crisis. That's the initiatory crisis. Mine, I think, was drug addiction. I've had many, but I would say my drug addiction was probably my shamanic initiatory crisis that really got me right in. And there was so many pieces to that experience. What I learned along the way, why it happened, why I was drawn to it. I knew that there was something in there for me to discover in that world. That's why I pursued it. There was a real strong conscious piece of myself that really went into active drug addiction, as crazy as it sounds. Yes, it did take a hold of me, and yes, it did get out of control. And at points, I had completely lost control. And for the most part, I really had lost control. That's why I had to get clean and really transform that experience into something higher. But I was completely drawn to it, and I knew exactly what I was getting into. And there was some part of me that knew I had to walk that walk. And if it wasn't for that, I would certainly not be who I am today, and I wouldn't be where I am right now. Pursuing a PhD in transpersonal psychology, conducting research on the heroine's journey, working with clients individually to help them retrieve their own soul and elevate to the highest level possible, understanding that their mind is simply an illusion, an obstruction and an illusion. Bypass the mind and you will be free, free flowing. You're smooth sailing from there. No more struggling with mental illness, no more needs for medications. You don't even need coping skills like weed. You just let it go. Because you don't need it. And I think we got a long way to go. We do. We really do. We have several hundred years as a collective before we get this right. And rightfully so, because we're just transitioning out of the Piscean Age into the Aquarian Age. We're going to be in that transition for a couple thousand years at least. So yeah, we're just starting to get it. And it is absolutely amazing. And I have a lot of people that have come to me to just ask questions around, like, what's up with these starseed systems? Am I a Palladian? Am I this? I'm having these like crazy experiences. Like, things are coming to me in my dreams. People are having some wild dreams right now. All kinds of psychic experiences that people are having when they don't even consider themselves psychic. And that's the other trippy part. We actually all do have the capacity to tap into a psychic experience, our intuition. And that's all becoming much clearer for people now. We're having less obstruction. The mind is awakening as the collective, as the earth is going through her own ego death and spiritual awakening. We're in it right now. And we have to shed some layers in order to birth the new version of ourselves. And that's what's going on here. So ask yourself, what freaking play did I sign up for? I mean, if I put all these pieces together, why would I do such a thing? What am I here to learn? I'm either here to learn how to surrender into the suffering, to forgive, to just go about my life and change nothing, but everyone else around me is going to learn something just because of who I am and how I do things. The value of unconditional love to transmute fear and hate into unconditional love. I mean, think about it. All you have to do is look at the experiences that you've had up until this point. Ask yourself, what was the lesson here? Well, what the heck was it? Why do I have a mother that's like totally overbearing and micromanages my life? Why did my child die before me? Why did this? What? Okay, you got to start asking yourself, why? It's not because God is out to get you. God has nothing to do with the suffering that we experience here on the 3D earth. God is an energy that is way above us. Way above us and out there. And it's just unconditional love. That's all God is, really. And we put names and faces and figures on it, whatever, okay. But that's essentially what it is. That is not that. That's the antithesis of the fear and the hate and the violence and the suffering. Because the fear and the hate and the violence and the suffering only exists on Earth. Doesn't exist anywhere else. And God is way out there, handling like all kinds of stuff out in that galaxy. And then there are other councils handling all the other galaxies. But for this one, we're the only ones in charge of all that pain and suffering. And that's why we're here, because we have to learn how to work with that as soul beings. We have to get dropped into these bodies to figure out how to do it, how to make it work. And then it gets more specific from there. So just ask yourself, go through your timeline of your life. Same thing that's going to happen when you pass away. You're going to do your life in review. You're going to look back over. Every little thing that you've ever done, you're going to be in the other person's shoes, assessing and feeling how it felt when you said and did that thing. So ask yourself right now in this lifetime, before you even cross over and do that then, do it now. Look at all of your life experiences and all the players in the game, all the actors in the play, and ask yourself, what was it like being in their shoes during that experience? What was it like being in my shoes during that experience? And what did my soul aim to learn through that experience? And go with the opposite of whatever the pain is. If somebody victimized you, then it was probably to teach you how to forgive. If somebody hated you, it was probably to teach you how to love one another. Forgive those who have trespassed against you. With love, with unconditional love. Learning how to let go and not control people's lives and interfere with their path. A lot of us are here on this planet actually to just learn that. How to back off, watch people perform their own play, let it unfold and not try to interfere and try to save them from their own suffering. No, do not do that. In my experience, if you're here to be a healer, it's not for you to take away somebody's suffering. It's for you to help them learn how to work within it so they can take the message, integrate it, and elevate consciousness as a result of it and from it. And yes, love yourself. Prioritize the quality of your own experiences over putting somebody else's needs first. You got to do you first so then you can be your best self to everybody else and model that's really important to value ourselves. And if there's a relationship or a person or a situation that is making you feel worse after you leave, chances are you got to set some good boundaries, some better boundaries. Put yourself first. Don't sacrifice yourself for others. And if that is happening and it keeps happening over and over again, well, it's because you're not getting the lesson. So if the lesson is to learn how to love yourself and put yourself first, the only way that you can do that is to have experiences in which you don't put yourself first. That's what I mean by go to the opposite to find the answer. And then check the box. Okay, boom, got it. Don't need to do that anymore. And close the chapter. End it. So that's what I have to say about the soul's unfolding mission. So let's see how the rest of the podcasting goes. If you guys did tune in, feel free to shoot me a message, drop it in on YouTube or on Instagram at Third Realm Integration, feel free to send an email to info@thirdrealmintegration.com. If you do have questions, if there are some topics that you want me to cover, if you have some ideas, if you whatever, if you want to come and work with me individually, I'm going to start offering some metaphysical coaching that's less in the psychotherapy space, but more in the space that I talked about today. How to do these things, how to get the answers to these questions, sort these things out, and then how to actually do the work and how to use your real life as practice in order to do it. So visit the website, www.thirdrealmintegration.com, for anything related to the services that I offer. And don't forget to check out the Etsy shop. We're kind of blowing up a little bit over there. We got some regular customers. Shout out to Stacy. She loves my tarot readings. And I do that for fun on the side. And we'll be adding some astrology readings, personalized readings as well. And of course, we always do the astrology coaching for those who are interested, in which we are really bypassing the ego at that point, because we're looking at you as the mandala of your planetary alignment right in your birth chart. So it's not even like about you, it's about your planets that's telling your story. Again, knowing that you chose those planets to incarnate under during this lifetime. So I offer that as well. So stay tuned for the different states that I will be obtaining a license in. Right now we have New Jersey, we have Idaho in the works, we have Kansas in the works, we have South Carolina coming through pretty much at any minute. And we have potentially Florida, and we'll see where we can go from there. So if you live in any of those states and you're interested in working with me, but maybe finances are an issue and you would prefer to use insurance, reach out, info@thirdrealmintegration.com, to get updates on when all of that will be coming together. And you can also subscribe to the newsletter on the website. I do have to get back up to speed with that to make some announcements, and all of those announcements about insurance will be in there also. All right. Well, I think that's it. Mission accomplished. And I will catch you guys on the next episode. May the light always lead your way. Be well, everybody.
The Third Realm Integration Podcast and related content is intended to provide information and/or entertainment only, and is not a substitute for mental health or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Do not delay mental health or medical consultation, or substitute a mental health or medical professional's opinion because of what you heard on this show. Seek the advice of your physician or another qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a mental health or medical condition. The host of this podcast does not provide emergency support for mental health or medical issues. For questions or concerns, visit your local emergency room or contact your doctor.
That's it right there. That quote. This is my favorite quote of all time. Soul obeys its own inexorable drive toward wholeness, with or without our consent. Boom. Boom. Yep, there it is. Let's go.